in New York, or Giant fans, because they were the New York Giants. And they still follow the Giants, but it's not that easy.
Right.
It would have been much easier.
A lot of them gave up on it.
Some of them, yeah. But this great feeling that's created by fans, where fans get to be fans, is awestruck young people growing up as kids, larger than life. And then the owners are trying their best to destroy that. They take a guy, a name, a whatever, and then as soon as they think they've got somebody else who might produce a bit more for them, out they go, and in comes the new. And where's the loyalty? Where's the player developed loyalty for a team, too?
Yeah, it's heartless. It's become heartless on both sides.
Selfless on both sides. And it's probably not the player's fault, because he probably didn't have to get, if they asked to get traded, that's true. If Morris took a hike.
They do, yeah.
But gee, there are a lot of players taking hikes on their own team because the rules say they could. All these things that I mentioned, I wouldn't do.
Yeah.
If wouldn't do, and there's no amount of money would make that make any more sense to me then than it does now.
Kurt Flood's point when he filed his lawsuit was that if I'm a plumber and don't like the company I'm working for, I can go get a job, seek a job somewhere else as a plumber, in real estate. And I don't like the company I'm working for, I can open my own. I have options for my own employment and welfare. And the reserve clause took that away from players. He said, in the hierarchy of living things, all players rank with poultry. It's the commodity to be shifted around, according to the
Well, there's no question that that's true, too. I mean, the reverse is true. The players have such a very short time to, if they're unhappy and uncomfortable, but there should be a price. And so, however the reserve thing is sorted out, and I haven't even studied it to see what would really be fair as to giving the owners some security for what they've invested, give the players some chance to change his lot if he's the second greatest knuckleball pitcher of all time, behind the greatest knuckleball pitcher of all time, or the best catcher in the big leagues except for the guy in front of him. It certainly is, and that's trades and that sort of thing are part of baseball, particularly if you can find a case where the guy's unhappy in saying so, and the owners don't like what he's doing, and there's somebody over there that can do the job. And a lot of fans are probably short-sighted that way too. They just want to win. Some of them don't really care about the personality, but I think you hit on a very good point that the Red Sox fans and the Cub fans are more loyal because they do identify for a longer period of time with their heroes, probably, and with the tradition that both those teams have. Build a new ballpark, at least they've got smart enough now to see, hey, it isn't whether it's bigger or gaudy, or it's got to have something for the fans. You got to be able to go and enjoy the game and the history and tradition have a part. The funny irony of it is that's the classic wrong phrase that's been in baseball, certainly there when I played, and still is. And the answer to why do you do something is because that's the way we've always done it. And there's sure still a lot of stuff that is done purely because that's the way we do it, and not for any reason.
Yeah, we've always gotten away with it, so don't stop us now.
That too, I suppose.
Who are some of the other player reps who stand out in your mind?
That's too good. You don't have a list of the player reps from 69. I'd really love to. You probably do.
I have it out in my car. You want to take a moment? I'll go.
American pastime. The thing that, you know, apple pie, not moms worldwide, but the things that are so American that we can't have something that we can all get together on, just like the country can't get together on something that's good for all of us, not just what's perfectly in it for me.
But attendance records suggest that baseball fans don't care. Just give them a ball game to go to.
Yeah. Let's see what Tommy said first. Your tools, let's break that out.
Yes.
had nothing to do with it.
I'm trying to go back.
Well, it's very Tommy John. Certainly is an example of I mean, he was double jointed and he had, and Tommy was unique to say the least. But his double jointedness, I mean, his ball just kept digging, his curveball kept digging. His sinker, which was really a rolled over fastball, just kept digging away. So the velocity thing probably cost Tommy less than anyone else. I had Tommy John surgery too. And I was in really good shape, although Tommy really became a real well-conditioned athlete. But back when I played, I mean, everybody, I did things like run with a weighted vest and ran more wind sprints, and I still can't believe that. Here you are, a chance to make the big leagues, and in the minors, it's all these guys, you know, waffling and trying to get out of their setups and trying to get out of running. It just blows my mind. Somebody's sitting on the pinnacle, now having a chance to make $2 or $3 million a year, and you aren't going to do everything in your power to get there. It's hard to believe that. Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Certainly Tom Haller, Steve Hamilton, one guy, the guy with the Orioles that was a different kind of guy. Tim McCarver, I remember when we went to Mexico City, and he was a kick. Not so much remembering for his baseball stuff, but just being so interesting and funny. I'm trying to think who. Sticks out. Lomberg was a kind of a more of a low-key kind of a guy, a little bit like me. All these guys took out. Jim Cott is, you know, was instrumental then, I think, and certainly he stayed with the game, and he's a very prudent guy. I was just looking, but this wasn't somebody that was really instrumental so much as...
Steve Hamilton's quite a character.
I'm
supposed to interview him later this summer and go to Kentucky.
They were there. I mean, that's about all I can really say. Nobody just jumps out at me as somebody was leading a certain direction or anything. And I was probably the minority of one I probably interjected more than anybody to quote owner's point of view. Let's look at it from the other side.
I was still
trying to say, look, we're in this together. I was hoping and expecting the owners would be, if we showed some solidarity, that we could do it together. It was sort of my theory. I don't think Marvin probably believed it, and he was probably right. So,
in retrospect, I don't think the theory holds.
No, but it's still true. And players today
it
are
ought
already
to.
Have
it ought to, but I don't think it.
And it could. I mean, and it should. You sure shouldn't have to have the power you've got because you forced them to give it to you. It should be a common sense says let's work together. But clearly the owners have been out of control.
Right. Well, now, in Mexico City, didn't you all go down there to meet with the owners, and the owners came back and said we're not ready to talk. We're busy. We don't have time for you.
Probably was that the 69?
I think that was end of 67, 68, that off season, that winter.
Yeah, I remember that being an enjoyable trip, maybe more than what really got accomplished. And that was quite a thing too, just to be able to go to take. I mean, that kind of bothered me a little bit. Gee, who's paying for us to go to these wonderful tropical places? This is behaving like the owners. If there's enough money around, I don't think it's as big an issue as it might have been then. Jim Perry, just trying to... There weren't a lot of guys that...
Well, now, this is kind of interesting, too, because Gary Bell was the player rep for, I think was the player rep for
Seattle. So you got traded for him.
Yeah, so they traded two player reps, took them out of two teams. That might be, I mean, I sort of remember that, and that could be an issue. Did they really try and remove two player reps from their respective teams? I mean, this really made a lot of change because they got rid of two player reps. They had other player reps that then take over and mm-hmm. didn't necessarily follow that you become a player rep.
Right, you became the alternate.
I think that's right. Like that.
Does the alternate have any official duties except to be there if the player rep can't do anything?
Not.
Or what I'm asking.
Pretty much that's it, I think. I don't think that we. I can't remember that we were talked together with the player rep to see what the opinion of the team should be or what we should be really doing. He helped out a little bit. I mean, distribute ballots when you're doing voting on something and things like that. But it was really to be there if the other guy couldn't be there more than anything. And I enjoyed it. I mean, I wish I had stayed on. I wish I probably, I don't know whether it was what could would have come of it, but the more time I spent in the big leagues, the more I really saw the picture and think I could have been very helpful to the players as understanding things they didn't seem to understand, although I also didn't understand how one-sided the owners were treating this thing.
You and didn't understand.
No, didn't believe as much as it was probably true that the owners were not looking out at all for our best interest. And in a sense, I think a lot of them probably thought they were. I think Charlie Finley was, even though he's the lowest payroll in baseball with the Kansas City A's, I'm sure. And yet the A's, when we won, didn't have the huge attendance or the big TV market. Mm-hmm. So, relatively speaking, and what they're trying to do now, I do not know, but the TV revenue is just so huge that it's got for everybody into it.
And until it comes down, nothing is really going to slow down either side until the money simply isn't there anymore.
And you know that's going to happen. Yeah. We've escalated right now to the point that we can't sustain where we are. So who's going to suffer? The fans, number one, are going to suffer.
Yeah.
I don't know where the players start out. I'm hoping it won't be guys like me that played 10 years, didn't have a dime, but had very little saved from that. There was no security. Went through the last of the getting a change to where we had some say, but never received any of the benefits except the pension. And then to have that pension, which is really not guaranteed, go away to live for the moment, like we're doing with other things, that could be very disheartening.
I guess, yeah.
I question, yeah, some of the things we do even now. I mean, the new organization or the Alumni Association has a chance to do some wonderful things. I'm not sure we're not turning into a political group, too. And everything turns into kind of a few people run it that are like to be in the spotlight and are there because the spotlight feels kind of good again.
I don't know if they have the economic base to get a lot done either. The Players Association has the economic base to do it.
We've got that's the screwing thing. We should have. How much brain power would it take? These guys are worrying about dues and collecting $25 from the players. That's ludicrous. There's enough money out there in the corporate world to use the base of players. Everybody that's a player is soon going to be a has-been player. But guess what? I mean, the Willie Mays and Mickey Mantle are pretty much, they don't fade out. Most of us do fade away, basically. But the player base of retired players is far larger than the current base, and it's going to continue to grow that way. And if I couldn't go out and raise $20 million from corporations, I don't have any brains, if they let me. But instead they're winging it with a little bit of dues, graft and corruption, money disappears from here, disappears from there.
We got a lot of power that they're not harnessing. It's almost like what we, it's almost like 69 all over again. I wish that the Alumni Association saw what they had, what they're doing, and did it right. They're doing a lot of good stuff, though. I mean, they're publishing newspapers. They're getting people out of the woodwork that really want to be involved, but missed baseball. But they're also missing the point a few times, too. We'll see what happens. That's off the track, too, I suppose. But, you know, that's, I really think that, which is one of the reasons I went to the first deal that they had 3 years ago or something in Florida, the first alumni gathering, which was very impressive, and a lot of people came out of the woodwork for that, and they should be able to team it and have it grow. But you could tell, I mean, they had all these things like old baseball injuries and this and that, and clinics, and people were out having a good time, still the show. But when it got to pension benefits, you couldn't get close to the room. That seemed to be the reason that most of them had, you know, gone there. It was the camaraderie. That's where I got my first shock when I realized there still was nothing. Got on the elevator with a guy I thought had played many years in the big leagues. It turns out he had, but he'd come down. He was so happy to be around baseball again. But, it, you know, played 20 years in the minors or something like that. A cup of coffee players. And I guess I misunderstood. He played in the big leagues, but I thought he played like 17 years in the big leagues and had nothing. And that just got me. So that's when I came home. I got on the phone and started calling people and called the owners, the players, everything. But I just couldn't get this group, I mean the alumni, to understand what we really could do. The answer came back, well, we can't do that because if we're trying to raise money for them, then it's a, we can no longer be a charitable organization, hogwash. Now they have, if I get any good, at least managed to create a financial arm of the Alumni Players Association that can make and lose money.